Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody, and our listening audience. This is Aline Reed with the West Fresno Democratic Club's Blog Talk Radio program. I want to welcome everybody tonight, and I think we have an exciting show, but hey, I say that every week. So I want to give out our call-in number at the top of the show because sometimes I get excited and I am remiss to do that. So our call-in number is 1-619-924-0872. Once again, that call-in number is 1-619-924-0872. And tonight we're going to talk about a couple of things. We have a lot going on politically. Those of you who have been watching MSNBC or CNN know that Robert Mueller has completed his report and is going to be sharing that with everybody very shortly. So that's going to be a really exciting stuff. We have exciting stuff going on here in California. Governor Gavin Newsom has suspended any activity on California's death row, giving a reprieve, at least for the time being, for those inmates who are sitting on death row. And since we know that disproportionately there are a number of poor, black, brown, and Asian people sitting on death row, we want to give a shout out to all of them. And for those who are sitting on death row and are innocent, we definitely want to give a shout out to those people and say stay strong because God is in the mix. This is a political show, and I probably shouldn't be saying God or anything like that, but too late. It's already out there. All right. So as the current president of the West Fresno Democratic Club, it came to my attention just a few weeks ago that, hey, it's time for all the local Democratic clubs to recharter. So in order to do that, I'm just sharing with all of you that what do we have to do? Well, we have to send in our updated constitution and bylaws. We have to send in a list of paying dues, paying members. There has to be at least 20 of them. And we have to send a list of those people in to our local Democratic headquarters and get rechartered and get all legal and stuff. So I understand that from our acting secretary at the time, who was Carol LaValle, she also works as our executive, our treasurer for our club. She is the president of the Kennedy Club. And so, but I understand from our last general meeting that she has already sent in a copy of our updated constitution and bylaws. So we want to say, give a shout out to Carol and say thank you very much for your work. And, you know, I was taking a look at our constitution and bylaws of our West Fresno Democratic Club, and I want to just read you this short paragraph. And it kind of gives you an overview of what we're about. This is the section called Preamble of our Constitution and Bylaws for the West Fresno Democratic Club. And it says, to stimulate an active interest in governmental affairs, to increase the efficiency of popular government, to foster and perpetuate the ideals and principles of the Democratic Party, and to provide for all people through its administration the highest degree of justice and social welfare, we do associate ourselves together to establish the West Fresno Democratic Club. Now, some of you may or may not know that when this club was first established, I was there. And, you know, I understand that one of the first presidents of that club was Reverend Floyd Harris, who is very popular and well-known social justice activist and leader in Southwest Fresno. And I've known Reverend Harris for a long time, and I know that he did a bang-up job as president. And we've had several presidents after that time, including Charles Taylor, and I do believe that Mickey Addison was our most recent president of the West Festival Democratic Club, and I think she did a stint of, say, 8 years. So we want to give a big shout-out to Mickey and a big pat on the back. And I'm saying all that because now we are moving into a different and a new era for the West Festival Democratic Club, and I think we're going to distinguish ourselves as a more progressive club. One of the things that we hope to do this year is to not just boost our membership, which, hey, at $15 a year, I mean, that is good value for your dues. One of the things that we hope to do is do a year-round membership drive as well as a year-round voter registration drive. Now, all of you in the listening audience know and understand that 2020 is going to be the big one for the presidential race. But you also need to understand that there are going to be a lot of other positions down ballot that are going to be up for the race. And I do believe the mayor of Fresno is going to be one of those things. Right now in the California Democratic Party, there is a race going on to find out who's going to be the chair of that party. And, you know, there are a lot of people who have come to Fresno. I do believe I met a dude named Rusty. Please forgive me. I'm really tired. Rusty, who was running as wants to be chair. I missed an opportunity to meet Kimberly Ellis, who, according to information that I read online, seems like a likely candidate. And if I were leaning towards anybody, it would probably be Kimberly. But that's me personally. I don't want to sway anybody. And I understand that there are going to be a lot of different folks swinging through the Central Valley trying to pick up support for their bid for the chairmanship of the California Democratic Party. So I urge all of you in the listening audience, if you are socially active and you are members of the Democratic Party, please, you know, go on online and research these folks and get involved. I cannot say often enough how important it is to support and be energetic about your citizenship. Do you realize that the people who are sitting in detention centers risk everything to come to this country to be citizens? And this, my friends, is an ongoing discussion and an ongoing battle when you talk about participatory democracy, which is what we're supposed to have in this country. Now, there are different people who will tell you different things about that because what we have is electoral college and, you know, you got big states, you got small states, and the thing that the electoral college was supposed to do was to even out things. Well, I'm here to tell you that the EC bit us on the ass this time, and that's why we have 45 in the White House. So if you want to find your voice as a citizen, now's the time to get involved. And people, I am saying that poor people, people of color, women, LGBTQ, transgender folks are all under siege right now. And I'm not saying this to try to stir a pot and make things bad for anybody. I am just saying that we are under siege. We can see it very blatantly with the massacre that happened in New Zealand. We can see it in the hate crimes and the explosion of hate groups that's going on in this country. So if you want to get in on this conversation, please call in at 1-619-924-0872. So that's 1-619-924-0872. Okay, I want to get off my soapbox, but I do want to urge you all to get involved in your community. Pick something. If it's voter suppression, which is huge right now, I can tell you that, you know, if the government or other forces take away your right to vote and choose your elected officials, we are going to be one step away from fascism. This is not the time to be complacent. This is not the time to climb into your vodka bottle and swim around. Now is not the time to self-medicate with opioids. Those are symptoms of a greater problem in this society. Don't medicate your problems away. Get out there and fight. Get out there and fight for what's important. Get out there and volunteer at your kids' school. Get out there and go to your local church and volunteer there. Go out to your city council meeting, to your board of supervisors meeting. And if you do not agree with what you're hearing, you stand up and say, you know what, I'm tired of all this crap. I'm tired of things like the vote that was taken today. I didn't watch the news at 6 o'clock. I was in a meeting. But let me just read something to you that Steve Brandel proposed in the city council today. And I quote, a new ordinance proposed for the city of Fresno takes aim at drivers who stop at traffic signals to give money or anything else to panhandlers. Fresno City Councilman Steve Brandel says his proposal, which will be introduced at today's city council meeting, is directed at improving public safety. Well, friends and neighbors, let me tell you, that's crap. And I'm using that word crap a lot tonight because I don't want to say the other word, but, you know, horse pucky, dog, whatever, you know, way you want to describe it. What Mr. Brandel is doing is taking direct aim at the poor, the homeless, and those that will reach out to help them. Now, I understand that city council people like Esmeralda Soria, Nelson Esparza, and the VP of the city council, Miguel Arias, is against this ordinance, and I stand with them. As an individual person, I just happen to be the president of the West Fresno Democratic Club, but I am telling you that this is a direct action against the poor and the homeless and people who would seek to help them. Remember, folks, this is the same guy, Brandel, this is the same guy who got that anti-camping ordinance passed through a year or so ago, which made it illegal for people to camp on public or private ground, and if the police ask them to move and they don't move, they are subject to arrest. That was blow one. This is blow two. So if anybody has watched the news and they know what's going on, please give me a call and let me know. I'd appreciate the call in at 1-619-924-0872. Okay. So this is what's happening in Fresno, the heartbeat of the Great Central Valley. And this is just one of many, many, many things that are happening to poor and homeless across the country. Now, I want to give a shout-out to Brother Kevin Carter in Sacramento and all the good people throughout California who are supporting Assembly Bill 392. That is the Police Accountability Act that will hold police accountable if they cause bodily harm or kill a citizen without using other means to disarm them or, you know, take them down without using deadly force. Now, given the fact that there is at least one police shooting, tasering, or deadly assault on a citizen in this country every single day, AB 392 is very important for California. And remember now, remember, this is the anniversary of the murder of Stephon Clark, That's the young black man who was murdered in his grandmother's backyard, holding a cell phone and nothing else. And he was gunned down. So I urge all of you in the listening audience to support AB 392. If you're not sure what it is, it's the Police Accountability Act. Call up your state senators, call up your state assembly person, and voice your support for AB 392. Once again, our call-in number is 1-619-924-0872. If you want to talk about your interaction with police brutality, somebody in your family is in jail and they can't get bailed out right now because there's not enough money. You know, there's a lot of discussion going on about the whole cash bail system. You know, if you have views on that, I would love to hear them, because these are the kind of things that affect our citizenship. And remember, people, so many people in the world, migrants, immigrants, refugees from war, all of these people are seeking one thing in the countries that they flee to, and they are seeking citizenship. So I say this, and I really mean it. Citizenship is a huge endeavor. And, I see we have a caller on the line, and I'm going to click this person in. This is caller 442-4477. And let me see if I can get this going here. Hello? Hello, caller? Hello, caller?
Hello.
Are you on? Hey, everybody. Welcome Reverend Floyd Harris to the show. Reverend Harris, I was just talking about AB 392, the Police Accountability Act that's going to be voted on in California. And I'm glad you called into the show. I know it's been a long day for you. Did you have anything that you wanted to share about police accountability or police brutality?
Well, I'd like to thank everyone who's listening and coming back to the archives, listening to the show. After the show is completed, it goes up into cyberspace, so many people that might have missed it because they're working or have an event to go to always come back and listen. We are in California, as well as across the country, we are in a state of war right now with law enforcement. We are being gunned down. Shoot first, ask questions later. We should be innocent until proven guilty, but we're guilty until proven innocent in the kangaroo court system. And to make matters worse, we're paying for it.
Yes, indeed.
Paying into a system that has been intentionally created to destroy us. And enough is enough. I think that people have buried enough people in their families and friends for a police officer to say him or her that I feared for my life and there was no weapon involved. So I believe that California people, as well as those across the country, right now we're talking about California. We're saying enough is enough. It's just sadly it took this long for someone to create this bill, but I'm glad it's being created so that those who decide law enforcement is the career that they want to pursue or go in to understand that what the stakes are, to understand that.
Yes. Let me ask you, Reverend, do you think that the police murder of Stephon Clark was a tipping point for California? Because we've had other, you know, police killings like Oscar Grant in Oakland. His death was turned into a feature film, a Hollywood feature film. Do you think Stephon Clark's murder was the tipping point for this in California?
Yeah, speaking of the film of Oscar Grant, I'm in that film.
really? All right,
yeah.
Friends and neighbors, you hear that? I did not know that. Tell us about that, Reverend.
Well, I didn't know they were filming that day when I was in Oakland. And when the movie came, I was getting a bunch of phone calls saying, hey, that's Reverend Harris. That's Reverend Harris in the movie. So, yeah, I'm featured in there once or twice. But, you know, the problem that we have with law enforcement is that there has been this fear that has been created when it comes to black and brown people that, you know, if you come in contact with them, they're monsters already. If you come in contact with them, they're going to do something crazy. I don't see how Stephon Clark was a threat to these police officers who was away from the police. I don't see how that's a threat. Everybody is human. Everybody make mistakes. But the problem is there's a bias here in the United States of America that police officers can get away with, I fear for my life, and then there's no accountability. No,
there's
there has to be accountability, even if there's a mistake.
Right.
There has
to. Well, you bring up a good point, Reverend, that there has to be accountability even when they make a mistake. And I would venture further into that issue that you just talked about and say, because they are law enforcement officers and they have this specialized training, they should be held to a higher standard of care, and therefore we should be looking at them with even greater scrutiny than no scrutiny at all of the title, the authority, the weaponry that they control. Because what I'm seeing and what many of us are seeing now is the fact that so many of these police officers and sheriff's deputies are also members of hate groups, are also, you know, that's part of who they are. And I don't think that police departments vet these people properly. I think they should be held to a higher standard of care. What you think on that?
Well, good luck on that. They'll never be held at a higher standard. The only people that's going to be held at a higher standard is those civilians in the community. They will be held at a higher standard, not law enforcement. You're right, they should be held at a higher standard, but the way this is going is that all you have to say is I fear for my life, and then you're off the hook, and you just shot a black man in the back unarmed. You know, you can't even run a stop sign yourself, Aileen, and kill somebody accidentally and don't get manslaughtered. So I don't understand how is it that we give all this power to those in law enforcement that make a mistake, if that's what it was. But there's no accountability.
There's no accountability. You know, Reverend, I wanna take this conversation and I wanna make just a little bit of a detour, because, you know, everything that the police do need to be held accountable. And there was an ordinance that was proposed in the Fresno City Council today about fining drivers who give money or food or whatever to panhandlers if they are sitting in traffic. And, you know, Brandow, the council person who just got elected to the Board of Supervisors, proposed this. This is the same guy who did the anti-camping. So now he's targeting homeless. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because Esmeralda Soria, Nelson Esparza, and Miguel Arias held a press conference about this. And Miguel Arias said in this press conference that if the police can't find anything better to do than to go after drivers for something like this, then he needs to rethink the whole funding source. They don't need more money. They need to use the money that they've already got in a better way. And I'm saying this, I'm making this segue because somebody is finally saying enough. We don't need to give you more money. You need to do something more with the money you've already got. And so it's questioning that authority that they seem to automatically have. People are starting to say, no, enough is enough. And with this homeless thing, so the first blow was the anti-camping. The second blow is this particular ordinance that they're trying to pass. And so they're going after the poor, just like they go after black and brown people. You know, enough is enough, and I'm using this as sort of a segue to talk about the Poor People's Campaign. And one of the things that the Poor People's Campaign, which is a nationwide campaign, talks about is police authority and police brutality as it relates to poor people and people of color. So I was wondering, since you also are part of the Poor People's Campaign, if, you know, I don't want to be too abrupt. We can continue to talk about police brutality, but I wanted to make sure that we had a chance to discuss the Poor People's Campaign and the event that's going to be coming up in April, on April 8th.
Well, I mean, yeah. One would have to understand how politics work when it comes to running for office. Number one, I believe Miguel Arias here, when he ran for District 3, he did not, that I've seen on paper, he did not get endorsed by the police department on paper. Kate Hill got endorsed by the police department. So, you have to understand that his, you know, if you like him or not, or if you like his politics or not, you have to understand that he has no loyalty to the police departments. He's free to say what he wants to say. Now, you have to understand, in politics, whoever writes a check, that's who you're loyal to. It doesn't matter who gets abused in a community. Your loyalty goes to the person who signed your endorsement check and gave you that endorsement. And so I think that Miguel, it's the first time that I've ever seen in the 48 years that I've been here in Fresno that a city council person has ever came out against or the police department in the way that he did. I did not see the press conference. I'm really going off what you said, and I have no reason not to believe what you said. But if that's what he said, what you said, he said, I can read through the his conversation saying, look, I'm free to say what I want to say. You know, they're not pull my coat, or I say what I want to say, and calling me as soon as I leave this press conference saying, hey, what are you doing? You know, we own you. You know, because we got office. So you have to give the brother some respect from that standpoint. I mean, I don't know his politics. And,
I don't.
State college, city college or something as a trustee. So I really don't know him, but we will get to know him soon. And so in saying that when you speak out against law enforcement, most people, and I don't know the other city council people on the dice of Fresno, but most people run off public safety. Of course, who doesn't want a safe
neighborhood? That's right.
Who doesn't want a safe neighborhood? I mean, to me, that's a no-brainer. But I think Miguel is changing the narrative here, saying, you know, your first thing out of your mouth doesn't have to be, I'm running for public safety, because when you say that, then all the police unions is ready to throw money at you, and then you're
right.
morally obligated to them. And so, you know, I think he's changing the narrative. Now, I'm not saying he won't ever run office and he won't never get their endorsement.
Right.
Well, you know, a person like me will never get their endorsement because, you know, I've been speaking out against police brutality since I started civil rights work 35 years ago and going to continue. And it's not that I'm anti-police. It's just I'm what's right, you know.
Yeah.
And basically, and that's why I told Tate Hill that, you know, I'm like, look, bro, you know, it's about what's right. It's not about
what's
politically
right.
correct. It's about what's right.
Yes.
And so I think that Miguel, again, in closing, I can respect that coming from him saying, hey, you know, the police department is already getting over 50, 60, 70, 80%
right.
of the city budget.
That's
and
right.
And they got all cameras up all over the community. They got brand new cars. Brand new place out in the country where they got a bunch of TVs where everybody in the city, you know. And
right.
I mean, it's like, how much more do we got to give them?
How much
to
more?
Make the community safe? And the community is not even safer than it was when they didn't have this stuff. So
you're absolutely right, bro.
Man, I'll give it back to you.
Hello.
I'm going to go ahead and give it back to you. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, well, you know, and it's funny. I was at a meeting several months ago with Jerry Dyer and two of his female, you know, lieutenants or whatever. I'm saying lieutenant because I do believe Lydia Carrasco was one of the people that was at this meeting. In fact, I knew it was her. She's a chick who just had her badge and gun burgled from her personal vehicle. Anyway, I don't want to get off track, but Jerry Dyer said in this meeting that he could not support a Measure P, that would help, you know, maintain and expand parks, public parks in Fresno, because it didn't give enough money to the police department. You know, they wanted to do, the supporters of Measure P wanted to do a 50-50 split, y'all, and that wasn't enough for the police. They wanted like 60-40, you know, with them getting the lion's share of that money. And so it just goes to show you where the priorities are for Chief Dyer and the people in his department. Now, I don't have anything against law enforcement, you know, personally. I do have a problem with them brutalizing black and brown and poor people. I have a big problem with that. And, you know, I grew up in an era where people were very vocal about that kind of thing. That's where the Panthers came about. They were the original Cop Watch because of the police brutality in black neighborhoods. So,
Well, if you ask the chief of police, he'll tell you that black and brown people are not being brutalized by law enforcement. He will say that black people are killing black people more, probably more than the police are. Right. But, you know, we have to understand that, you know, when we look at statistically the sat on the Fresno Police Advisory Board for a couple of years, and, you know, you come to find out when you start researching and asking questions that the police department has more complaints internally with one another than those out here that file complaints on the outside to the police. So that just tells you that the environment inside the police department is very dysfunctional, in that the leadership of it, I mean, you know, when you have deputy chiefs.
I was just going to mention that.
Lawsuits against the chief of police, you know, for racial slurs.
Right. Or when you have a deputy chief who gets arrested for drug dealing and the chief himself said, I didn't know anything about it. I personally find that hard to believe, and I refuse to believe that he had no knowledge of, you know, Keith Foster and whatever was going on, you know, two doors down from Jerry Dyer's office. But, you know, people seem to forget that Jerry Dyer had a nephew who was arrested and charged for dealing drugs. You know,
well, I mean,
same last name.
I think that we would have to understand that that institutions are ran by I'll say structure and protocol. And what I mean is that the police department, the head of the police department is Chief Dyer. And so it's his vision that he gives to the officers, which then execute that out in the community. Well, when you have your own right-hand people filing complaints on you saying that you're racist, saying that you're saying racial slurs or whatever the case may be, discriminatory, that's a problem. And then when you turn around and you see that as long as he has been on the force for all these years, you would think that things would be more intact. So when you look at, like you were saying, one of his deputy chiefs who was busted by the FBI for selling narcotics, heroin, and whatever he was selling to those in the community, these are the same people that came out in our community giving out hot dogs and bounce houses to our children, telling them, you know, to stop selling drugs, but yet the police department is selling drugs.
Right.
The police department is selling heroin. The police department is doing all of this. But then when you turn around, you say, well, hey, you know, we don't have to follow the rules, but you have to follow the rules.
Right. Do as I say, not as I do.
Here's the bigger problem with all this is with the Fresno Police Department is that there was no accountability when the FBI busted his deputy chief. And what I mean is that if Chief Dyer knew that he was selling drugs in the community or not, it was under his watch. It was up under
and
his
therefore his responsibility.
Yeah, and so therefore Chief Dyer should have been fired, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because it shows that you do not have your department in control. But
because
he's a born-again Christian and then he goes to church and all of that, he's forgiven. But our people, our children in the community can do wrong or whatever they do. No, they throw the book at our children. You know, our children can't be born-again Christians.
That's
all that.
Well, that's
stuff.
Right. Well, and when Dyer was questioned at this community meeting by a Latino mother whose son had been murdered, it just so happened that it was in Southwest Fresno. He said, oh, well, you know, you should call my office again because that case is still open. And she says, I can't get anybody to tell me anything. She's telling him this. And when he was questioned by a local activist, Gloria Hernandez, he said, well, Gloria, I don't know what you're talking about. I am married to a Mexican woman, as though that's supposed to absolve him from any question about, you know, his racial views. And I just find that odd. You know, at this meeting he was telling us that Southwest Fresno was the safest place in Fresno because it has all these cameras. Well, cameras, number one, cannot prevent crime. All they can do is record it. That's number one. And number two, it's as you were saying, Reverend Harris, about the narrative about black and brown children. You know, people forget that Hillary Clinton years ago is the one who started using the term super predators when she was talking about black youth. And people have glommed on to that mindset. And so when they look at our children, when they're in school, they're looking at problems. You know, and this is the problem that we have with the school-to-prison pipeline, this community-to-prison pipeline. And I'm hoping that this is one of the things that we're going to be talking about when we host this, West Fresno Democratic Club, but other community groups are hosting a progressive black summit in October. But getting back to this whole thing with the police, folks, if you don't think that this is important issue, if you have something that you want to say, if you have people who are sitting in jail right now or sitting in prison for a reason that they shouldn't, please call in at 1-619-924-0872. Once again, that call-in number is 1-619-924-0872. Because I want to do a segue right now, Reverend Harris, I hope you don't mind, from this police brutality. And it's a good segue because it's talking about the Poor People's Campaign. And this is one of the planks in this vision to dismantle this chokehold that police departments across this country have on black and brown communities. You know, to loosen that chokehold by shining a light on it, by changing the narrative about and holding police accountable. In order for us to do that, though, people, we need to get out there and vote. We need to get out there and protest. We need to get out there and agitate. And I can't think of anybody who's a better model than that than Floyd Harris. Because not only will he get out there, but he will teach you how to agitate. All right? He will teach you how to do it.
Well, I've taken on many campaigns locally and across the country, even in California, Vallejo, you know, where a young man was shot 30-some times in front of his house. And I was fortunate to meet the family and ask them that they want to march on the Vallejo Police Department. And within 48 hours, I was able to organize 300 people in a city that I wasn't even part of. But because I, you know, had the skill sets and know how to network, and, you know, we brought in Cop Watch. We did, you know, police accountability training. The Nation of Islam came in. You know, we built a website and different things like that for the community. And the community, you know, ran with it. And so, you know, I just feel that that's my role now, is to do more teaching. You know, I really want to get into more what have you with our young people. You know, I'll always be part of the movement, you know, but I just think that marching is great, protesting is great, but you also need to know some law. You need to know your constitution.
Yes.
You need to know the human rights. What does it mean to you have the right to remain silent? You know, what does it mean, you know, your Miranda rights? You know, what does it mean? You know, see, and a lot of our children do not know that. So when they come in contact with law enforcement, because see, as black people, let me just put this disclaimer out there. As black people, we've been raised to trust. My grandmother said, you know, if you come in contact with law enforcement, always tell the truth. Always tell the truth. Well, today you can't say that, because now when law enforcement come in contact with you and you tell the truth, your truth of what you're saying
will put
you in jail or
that's true.
So,
and it doesn't matter how old you are or how young. Yes.
Right. It has nothing to do with hiding anything. What it has to do with, you knowing your rights. And if you're not an attorney, you know, if you don't know anything else, come in law enforcement, you have the right to remain silent. You don't have to answer anything until you have an attorney or legal counsel. If they want to take you to jail, let them take you to jail. But
let
you don't
take you to jail.
Because, you know, when they read the, if you understand the Miranda rights, you know,
will be used against you in a court of law.
In the court of the kangaroo
lawsuit. That's right.
So we got to stop teaching our children to trust cops, because, and I'm not saying that all cops are bad, because I believe that some do wake up in the morning to want to do the right thing. It's just that they're inside of an institution that's been so corrupted day one during slavery, and you just have this mindset and within the law enforcement that, you know, is code blue.
It's code blue. That's right, Rev. No, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. Go ahead.
Dr. King started it before he was assassinated, because he's seen Dr. King was one of the best organizers we ever had from a clergy standpoint or just citizen standpoint. Dr. King knew he had the skill sets to take the pulpit and put it on the sidewalk, take the sidewalk, put it in the pulpit, and be able to
take a newspaper and
Bible and cross reference with that. What made sense. And so, you know, he just was a man who just was a fearless man. He feared God, but he feared man. So, you know, Dr. King was one of the ones who was arrested 41 times. He was stabbed. He was shot at.
Yes, he was.
At the times of he was called a nigger. His house was bombed. I mean, so, you know, when we look at Dr. King, Dr. King was a revolutionary, but if Dr. King was walking the United States today, March 21st, 2019 at 8:45 p.m., he would be as a listed terrorist with me, right? And, and so because he was someone who went against the grain. So he started to address these type of issues and knew that he needed a organization worldwide, and that's why Reverend Barber on the East Coast has reactivated it to that point where we are now mobilizing here in Fresno, folk like yourself, Marie Ellis, and I just can't name all the people that's on our steering committee here.
Right.
Castro, his name is Chip, Charles up in the mountains.
Ashby.
I just can't even name
Dallas Blanchard. Yeah, there were a lot of people who have come to the steering committee.
Yeah.
A lot of people. Ralphie.
Ralphie. And so, you know, all of us bring something to the table. You know, it's like I tell folk at church, you know, look, people are hopeless today, okay? People are hurting, okay? And so when people come in contact with you and they want to see hope in you, I mean, they want to see something in you that can say, man, I wish I could be like her or help me or something.
Right.
But if you're not
right.
bringing nothing to the table to people who are oppressed and depressed, what are we really doing? So Dr. King decided that, look, you know, I'm going to take this Poor People campaign and talk about police brutality, talk about homelessness, talk about the war and the amount of money on war, talk about it. You know, so we're going to be here April 8th here in Fresno. Folks can come and tell their story. Their personal test. They own that. They whatever they say, they own that. Good, bad, or indifferent. And I think that as leaders, we have done a poor job. And I try, you know this for a fact. I preach twice a month, sometimes three times a month. And I share my Sunday with people. You know, I mean, I have men come in and speak, men come in and speak, because I feel that there's other people that can reach other people that I can't reach or say something that can inspire them. I mean, you even spoke yourself.
Yes, I have had a chance to speak at New Light. And, you know, I want to just interject something right now, Rev, because you've given a wonderful overview of the Poor People's Campaign. But I want to give people just a little bit of the four pillars, as it's known. And I'm reading directly from some of the paperwork for the Poor People's Campaign, A National Call for Moral Review. It says, we are committed to lifting and deepening the leadership of those most affected by, here come the four pillars, y'all, systematic racism, poverty, the war economy, ecological devastation, and to building unity across lines of division. Now, that is putting it succinctly. But, you know, our steering committee, it's going to be twofold, these personal testimonies. We're going to be out in the community in the next week doing remote testimonies, taking it on video, We're going to be at places like Youth Sanctuary with Joe Martinez and Pavarello House with the staff over there. We're going to be in the area of F and Ventura. We're going to be where the homeless and the people who are disenfranchised are. We're going to go to them. That's part one. Part two is that these folks are going to come on April 8th over at the local Conservation Corps, EOC's Conservation Corps on East California, and tell their own stories to local officials. And we're inviting City Council, we're inviting the Board of Supervisors and the mayor, and we are inviting Governor Gavin Newsom. Remember, this is a SWIDE hearing that the Rev mentioned. You know, we're going to be providing a light lunch. EOC is providing a light lunch. We're going to have transportation. There's going to be a press conference that day. But more importantly, like Reverend Harris said, the personal testimony, this day is not about any of the organizers. It's not about any of the elected officials. It's only about the people that we have talked about, that Rev mentioned. Thank you, Rev. Let me just throw that in there. And, y'all, Reverend Harris is the chair of the local steering committee, by the way. He's, you know, he's the man.
You know, I'm just trying to get ready to pass the baton to somebody.
Good luck with that.
Good luck with that. I've been doing it for 35 years, but, you know, it's, you know, organizing has its ups and its downs. You have your burnout points. I mean, you deal with a lot of personalities.
I've gone through that.
So people get mad at you, and people, you know, they don't want to talk to you for a while. I mean, it's all types of stuff, you know. And I think that we have to figure it out, because I believe that we have to change the narrative for the next several generations. And that's what the Native Americans, you know, when they do things, it's for the next several generations. And so I think that this is a historical opportunity for Fresno to come together. Those coming all the way from San Diego, we're opening up our church for those to come to bring their sleeping bags, and we're going to feed them. And really show them good hospitality, you know.
Good hospitality.
You know, your grandniece,
Amari. My little Amari.
She becomes a grown woman. She can say, you know, my auntie Aline is part of this Poor People's Campaign. There's her picture right there. That's her.
Yeah.
In that press conference, she was marching, she was helping to organize and mobilize in Fresno, and I was just a young little girl in elementary school. But and what that does is, and hopefully you still be here when she becomes an adult,
so
that she can say, that's my aunt, I'm proud, and she can stick her head up and say, hey, you know, I want to keep the flame going. I want to that my auntie passed the baton to me so that I could keep her
Let's
legacy
keep going. That.
So we have to look at, and I'm going to give it back to you, we have to look at the longevity. You know, Dr. King even said it himself. He said, you know, I would like to live longevity.
Yes, he did.
You know?
Yes, he did.
But the Bible says that the race is not to the swift. It's not to who starts the race out fast. But it said the race is not to the swift, but it's to those who endure to the
who
end.
Endure.
So it's like we're looking for the long, long term. You got to be in it for the long term. You know, and that's why you have to burn out.
This is true, and I have gone through burnout myself, but thanks to my work with Reverend Harris, you know, I'm back on board, and we've only got people a few more minutes left. I want to thank Reverend Harris for sharing his time after his long day and meetings and things like that, because, you know, let me just say this, y'all. Jesus was a role model and a road map, And for activism here locally, it's the same for Reverend Harris. And when he talks about my great niece, he is telling the truth, because that's what happened to me when I was a child living in San Francisco in the 60s. And I saw my cousins who were Black Panthers and Black Muslims, members of Nation of Islam, live their lives and believe and love Black people and not just say it but act on it. It made all the difference to me. And so I grew up reading the Black Panther paper when I was 8 and 9 and 10, and I grew up listening and reading Muhammad Speaks. It's the final call now, but when I was a girl in the 60s, it was Muhammad Speaks newspaper. So everything that we say and everything that we do reverberates through the generations. And for those of you who want to do something, are tired, sick and tired of being sick and tired, if you want to tell your story on April 8th, come over to 1805 East California between 1 and 3 and tell your story to the elected officials who show up and bear witness to your life and what's going on. Because people, either we're going to hang together or we're going to hang separately. And that's no joke. So I want to take this opportunity to thank everybody who's listening in the audience. I want to thank Reverend Harris for sharing this time with me. I want to thank the executive board of the West Vessel Democratic Club, even though none of them have even called in once to support this show. But, you know, I believe in the show. I believe in Southwest Fresno. And I will always swing for the fences when it comes to my people. So I want to take this opportunity to thank everybody in our listening audience. Like Reverend Harris said earlier, you know, listen to the archive, you know, later if you're not able to listen to it as we do the show. And for all the people on the inside of prison and jail walls, stay up. And for the rest of you, I want you to stay strong, stay Black till we get back. Good night, everybody.